Father, we do ask you to speak to our hearts and teach us. Lord, we need a different view of life than what we would come up with on our own. We do have your word of truth, but we have to not be resistant to that. We have to not quench the Spirit or not grieve the Spirit, but we have to be taught by the Spirit. Father, we have to live these things out to truly understand them and allow them to become living and powerful as the nature of your word is. So we do pray that you would speak to our hearts. The Spirit of God would descend on us, and we would hear the voice of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. He is a murderer, a liar, and a deceiver. There is no truth in him. He is an accuser and a slanderer and deceives the whole world, and the people marvel at him. The prophet Jeremiah tells us in a different and yet very parallel context. He says that a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? This morning's text tells us that the whole earth marveled as they followed, even to the point of worship. During a future time on this earth, an actual period of history, during what the theologians call the eschaton, the end of days, the last days, this person will set up two powerful leaders who will dominate the political, economical, and religious landscape, and the whole earth will marvel, be in wonder, amazed. Why? How? How does this villain, this dastardly person, get away with this? How does he pull it off? What is his secret? Are people really that gullible? Don't answer. Simple. Very simple. He works an age-old scheme. Works every time. Just ask your favorite politician. He promises to give people what they want. Two things here. First, he tells people what they want to hear. He nurtures the natural, sinful rebellion found in every human since Adam and Eve. He affirms the sweet lies of the heart. And second, he assures them that he will fight for them against their enemies, which in this case is God and the people of God. If you turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 13, and we are going to look at the entire chapter today. I had mentioned last week we might divide it up, but it is a unit, and the next two Sundays we will be looking to Easter. So we'll begin chapter 14 on the 23rd. But Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth, and to it the dragon gave his power." If you remember, who's the dragon? Satan, the devil, that ancient serpent. Okay? And the beast I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, its mouth like a lion's mouth, and to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled. Some of your Bibles were in wonder, and some of your they were amazed as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" Now, what we have that we also deal with, not just the symbolism and the figurative language in Revelation, but we have two very different perspectives when we're reading these words. See, what we have when God describes, he's going to describe the devil, and then he's going to describe two humans. He's going to describe the human who's the Antichrist, and he's going to describe the human who is the false prophet. Now, what God doesn't tell us in this always, in this description, God tells us who they are, what they are like. That doesn't mean this is how they appear. So God says this is like a beast rising out of the sea. Some believe that's the sea of humanity. Others believe that it's the abyss. It's not something that's conclusive, but it seems to fit more. We take the full context of Revelation, and as this very, very powerful demon rising out of the abyss, but also a human leader. And this demon, or possibly Satan himself, fills this individual, this great world leader. So this person is going to rise up. And he is ferocious and powerful, and he has the blessing of the God of this world. Now, don't let that go by you too quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the God of this world, little g. He has the blessing of the God of this world to work for the good of this planet and for the people here. People will be so impressed that with his results that they will literally worship him. Now, you've heard the expression. I just heard it on a TV show the other night. I don't remember which one. But they said, oh, such and such, he just worships the ground he walks on. And that's just figuratively. But no, here, his results are going to be so dramatic. It's going to make such an impact that people will literally worship. So what we have here, you've seen on your study notes, and many people have called it the unholy trinity. You have Satan, and you have the great world political leader, and you have the great world religious leader, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Okay, what also it seems to be, because of some of the descriptions, that the Antichrist is a person, but also represents a kingdom. We won't get into a lot of details, but the ten horns and the seven heads, etc., they are speaking to the seven heads' past kingdoms on this earth, and then the ten horns, the ten nation union that will be about, and some people have designated that as the European Common Union, and it could be that where people get into trouble is when they start saying that they can name the exact ten nations, and as someone has said, that they've been embarrassed in that because that fluctuates, and as we know, just what was it? Was it called Brexit last year or year before where Ireland. So if they had Ireland as one of their ten nations, they got to take that off. And put, that's where we get in trouble when we try to know things that we aren't able to know yet. But what we do want to know is that he will work through these kingdoms. Now, what I was saying with, I didn't do a very good job of explaining that. It says here, this powerful world leader, God calls him a beast. But that's not how he appears to this world. He appears as this very together individual. I've tried to illustrate this, and I can't say this would be what would happen, but you could see it happening. That if Time Magazine, you know, Time Magazine has Person of the Year. It used to be Man of the Year, but that's too sexist, and so now it's Person of the Year, and anyway. Well, did you know, actually, speaking of that, as you do a little bit of research on this, Adolf Hitler was Time Person of the Year. He was Man of the Year then. Joseph Stalin, Nikita Khrushchev, Osama bin Laden almost was. Now, their reasoning was, they weren't saying this person did good. They were saying this person made the most impact in the world that year. But I think the uproar was so great that they went from Osama bin Laden to Rudy Giuliani. I think that he was mayor of New York then, or governor of New York then. I'm going past my factual database here, but it went away from Osama bin Laden. But this is that type of person. God says this is what he is. He comes from the depths of darkness. But we see that same thing with Satan. Satan represents himself as what? An angel of light. He's a masquerader. He's a deceiver. So he doesn't come across in a red costume with a pitchfork and a long red tail. No, these people come across Let me give you some information. Now, I discovered this group. I was doing some, I was doing some checking. Because on this, you'll see, on this, I've got these comments from these news services. How you'll see that, and they'll have quotes from the different news services. And so I was making these names up, but I have the greatest political leader of all time, the New World Daily Report. Finally, a world leader who understands the needs of all the people. Twitter feed from the New Earth Movement. Simply amazing, gushes Sovereign Earth Magazine. And I thought, you know what, I better, you know, hop right to Google and make sure that I don't actually name any actual groups. And I did not find those. But what I did find was the New Earth Project. And I'd even thought about showing a video clip, and I thought it would raise more questions than answers, and it would be possibly misunderstood by some. But there is going to, I believe, arise through this powerful world leader, and it's going to be the people of Earth against the God of Heaven and the God of Heaven, His people on Earth. Now, we're going to see that in this text. We're going to see how they're going to be so proud. Hey, this man will fight for us. But let me read just some things. This is from the New Earth Project, from their site. Now, because of previous misunderstandings, I am not endorsing the New Earth Project, okay? So if you go check it out, don't go there and say, oh, I can't believe Pastor David. No, this is background research. I do not endorse this. We should be able to see that pretty clearly, but I want you to see some things from their statements. What is the New Earth Project? That's how they start out. Well, let me now back up just a second. Let me define something. I want to define the word sovereign, because they will use the word sovereign predominantly in their mission statements. So, sovereign, used as an adjective, means possessing supreme or ultimate power, self-governing, independent. Okay, so you got that? Sovereign means supreme or ultimate power, self-governing, independent. Now, back to New Earth Project. What is the New Earth Project? Our goal is to unite humankind under a common cause. The New Earth Project is a global movement supporting all members of the human family in embodying the innate power and absolute freedom which is ours by birthright. We pioneer worldwide initiatives that support the arising of this condition. If it is we, the people, who must take action to restore peace and dignity to planet Earth and humankind, no one else will do this for us. How? By reclaiming and exercising our inherent sovereignty and freedom. Now, let me just stop there for a second. Does anybody else hear Genesis 3 in this? What was Satan's proposition? You know, Satan, this is the scheme. Tell them what they want to hear. Give them, you know, let them think that you're going to give them what they want. This was all right from Genesis 3 from the very beginning. And Satan telling Adam and Eve, God's holding out on you. He said, you have the freedom to do this. God can't say that you can't also know good and evil, that you can't make these decisions. You have this inherent sovereignty. You have this freedom. It's your rights. So let me continue. By reclaiming and exercising our inherent sovereignty and freedom beyond the constraints of rogue government and bureaucracy. Why? Because until we do, vested interests will continue to commit atrocities in the name of the people. New Earth Nation is a fellowship of sovereign men, women, and nations founded in recognition of the primacy of consciousness, the unity of all life, here it comes, and the undeniability of the individual sovereign condition. Who's sovereign? Not according to them. It's not God, but yeah, you're exactly right. God is sovereign. You can see how these statements are completely opposed to the biblical view of humanity. Okay. an open invitation to every member of the human family to transition away from all systems and enclosures which limit our capacity for creative self-expression. We unite as an extraterritorial family of, here's our word, sovereign individuals who, with the support and solidarity of that family, are collectively empowered to consciously co-create a new paradigm of prosperity, harmony, and abundance. See, these things, this isn't somebody's novel. You can go to their website, and I'm sure there are plenty more. We picture this world leader, and we can have in our mind that it's just oppressive. Well, it is oppressive darkness, but it's not going to appear like that. If you remember, the rider on the white horse, it's a warring faction, but it's going to bring a measure of peace during the first part of that tribulation period. Now, this is happening in this second part, and this world leader, he is going to be dominant. He is blessed by the God of this world. And he's saying, people of earth, I will fight for you. I hear you. And, well, let's just continue. He will exercise his authority over the entire planet. Verse 5, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, 3.5 years, second half of the tribulation. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Okay, so if we could just back up there, then he will stand up for the people of earth. Now, this is a picture. This is, you know, we've talked about narrative. This could very well be his narrative. He's the God of this world. Now, we have to remember, too, although we see evidences of the devil, of Satan, the serpent, and we see that in our world, it's not going to be out explicit like it will be during this time. These things will be revealed, and there are people who they're going to remain. If you remember, even after acknowledging that it was God's judgment coming, they still are not repenting. What? They're still not changing their mind. They're still holding on to their story. This person will rally them from all over the world. You know, back in I'm in the wrong chapter, so I guess I won't find my verse there. Back in verse 3, this one of the things that over and over again just captured my attention said the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. This guy's really going to do it. We finally, you know how people rallied around and still are somewhat, don't misunderstand anything, I'm not saying Trump is this person, but it's an example how people rallied around. What do you hear? He's going to set America right. He's going to make America strong again. Well, it's going to be like that, except for it's going to be the entire world. And you know who it's going to be against? It's going to be against that God who's been raining down fire from heaven, throwing hailstones, bringing diseases, turning scorpions loose on us. We've got somebody who will fight for us. And you know what else? Some of his people are on earth. And our leader will deal with them too. Can you see this? How this? It's just right there, isn't it? I don't have to embellish. I don't have to come up with the storyline. All we have to do is back off enough and to see the main point of what God is trying to get across to us through this. It is such a different perspective. People will rally around. Now, yes, there will more than likely come a time when they go, oh no. You know, we've got the expression, you sold your soul to the devil, and they sell their soul to the devil, and they take that mark. There's going to come a time when they're going to say he's not what he appeared to be. It is so much like our politicians. he's going to be in office. He's going to have his worldwide domination. And people are going to start seeing the darkness. Too late. Too late. He will exercise his authority. If I could just say this again, the God, little g, of this world. That's why I've looked at this, the God of this world. See, Satan has tried to wrest control of the universe and of this earth from God from the very beginning. We looked at last week, and I told you, I was surprised. I did, putting it together, the angels, Satan had been, Lucifer had been created for a very short time before he rebelled. He rebelled in heaven. It didn't work. He brought it to earth. We looked at that. I outlined five great wars in heaven and on earth. He hasn't given up yet. We see from our perspective, well, we've got the last pages of the Bible. We know how this is going to turn out, right? But he is darkened in his mind, even though we are no match for him in his brilliance, his power. But his mind is darkened. He's deceived himself. The deceiver is deceived. And he thinks, and he's going to get people behind. We can pull this off. I'm your God. I'm not the one sending the scorpions on you. And you know what the false prophet is able to do? Send down fire from heaven. And people are thinking, this guy's real. Well, let's come up to that. I'm jumping ahead. He'll be joined on his quote unquote leadership team by the most amazing world religious leader of all time. Let me flip my page. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. And it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This powerful, yet in the eyes of men, compassionate man completes the supreme commander, the dragon, the unholy triumvirate, completes the supreme commander's leadership team for reclaiming. This is not good. Here we go. For reclaiming the earth for humankind. He is sensitive to the needs of this world. He looks like a lamb, but has the heart of a dragon. He looks like a lamb, but has a, it says he, when he looks like a lamb and he speaks, he sounds like a dragon. This is his true nature, his true character. So we have the dragon, who's Satan. He is being more and more evident on this earth. He's been openly acknowledging then that I'm bringing this world leader to you that's going to give us a chance in our war, in our battle against the God of heaven. And then they introduce one more, this world religious leader. And I had another video I could have played this morning, would have made your skin crawl. And just speaking of these things, and it was connected also with the New Earth Project. And these things are there. It's just called, you know, they don't shy away from spirituality. See, we make that mistake sometimes. Well, they're spiritual or they have faith. They don't shy away from those things. Well, everyone is spiritual in one way or another. It's always been that way. That's not the issue. Are you a spiritual being? God created you as a spiritual being. The issue is, will we submit to the Lord of the universe, or we will continue in our own way? Will we keep listening to the voice? just as Adam and Eve did from the beginning and every human on the planet has done in one way or another. I'll get you what you want and tell you what you want to hear. We have these the rebellion deep in our hearts, and they know how to stroke that. And this will rise up, this false prophet. Just picture it. That these people have been during this tribulation time, they've been bombarded by the God of heaven and earth. They're cursing. They know it, who it is, but they don't change their minds. Now we have the third member of the leadership team come along. Wow, we've got this guy who understands us, the world political leader. Now we've got the world religious leader, can send fire down from heaven. We've got a chance. Well, no, they don't. Spoiler alert. It's all going to fail. They can't pull it off. But we need to be aware of the deceptions. Let's just think, if we could even make this even more practical, that any time in our lives when we're manipulating someone, if I make them think I'm going to give them what they want. Now, here's what's interesting. I don't want to completely steal my thunder from next week, but a couple of weeks I've been praying, Lord, what about, Palm Sunday? What about Easter? And my Palm Sunday message. We're going to see another great world religious leader who came to this earth, the Son of God, and who's coming again. We're going to contrast next week. We're going to contrast his approach to this world leader. They can't pull it off. They do succeed in getting the nations of the world. We'll come to this later in chapter 19, maybe 18 also. In 19, the Battle of Armageddon, they will succeed. See, because we again, in our minds, we said, well, we know they can't win, but see, they don't know that. Things are moving for them. They've got this all together. Maybe we can do this. Our planet, our earth, our world, God no longer telling us how to live our lives and how to run our planet. And they will gather all the nations of the world to Jerusalem. We call the Battle of Armageddon. These two, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they don't stand before the great white throne judgment. They go straight to the lake of fire. They go straight to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said it again and again, follow me. And that's what our life should be. Not just making some decision, not just taking on some semblance of religion, but following God. You know what happens when you follow God? You end up with God. You know what happens when you follow the devil? I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. What happens when you follow the devil? Well, you'll end up just like the false prophet and the Antichrist, the lake of fire. It won't seem like that. It'll seem good. We have this in our mind. What was Chuck saying this morning? We have a way. We've got a plan, but then God's got a plan. And there's tension in our lives. But when we bow before the one who is sovereign Lord, Lord of lords, King of kings. Yes.
Pastor, could I say what you've been talking about this morning is going to be in this film tonight.
Yeah.
I really encourage you to come see the rest of this film.
Yeah, it's very well done. It is and I failed to mention it. Richard had asked me to mention it last week, and I forgot about it. But it is very good. It'll be worth catching the second half, and I'll loan you the DVD if you want to see the first half. It's very, folks. This stuff is troubling. This going through Revelation, it troubles my soul. People we know will go through this. Now, I mean, if it comes in our lifetime, it might not come in our lifetime, but they will face the judgment of God. We know that part. And it could come in our lifetime. you know, sometimes we get, the prophecy can be very encouraging because we see God's plan for us. And we see he is sovereign Lord, and we see him, he carries these things out. And boy, that is great. That I know I'm secure through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But it rips my heart out thinking of those I love, family and friends. And I don't even have to know them. I can see an interview on television and someone struggling through life. This is reality. This is the end of earth history. This will happen. We are constantly dealing with what we perceive to be reality, what is reality. It's this word of truth and living this word. We live by faith, not by sight. That's how we remain, keep our edge, our insight, our perspective. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you will face the same thing that this unholy Trinity, this unholy triumvirate is facing. There is a judgment day. It doesn't matter what lie the world tells us. So my hope is that you would look to Jesus Christ. You would speak to me, speak to someone else who can. If you don't know, you know, folks, when I'll hear people say, and they say, well, I hope so. I'll be real honest with you. When somebody, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? And I hear somebody say, I hope so. I'll be very honest with you. I hate to hear that. Because the Bible offers a lot more than just this hope-like hope. It's true hope. But the Bible offers no so. I've written these things to those who believe in the Son of God that they may know that they have eternal life. I'm not saying that to be mean. I know some of you, I've heard you say, I hope so. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, I hate to hear that. Because there's too much doubt in that. And our scripture can bring us where there's no doubt. Let's pray. Father, we pray that that's where we would be, just in your word, knowing these things, Lord, pray that there would be no one here facing still the wrath of God that's on this world. Thank you for speaking to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.